Isaiah chapter 9, please.
I appreciate those of you who are with us tonight. It's interesting because a number of churches no longer have an evening service. Whether the weather's poor or the weather's not poor, they're not gathered tonight simply because they no longer gather in the evenings. And I had this discussion with a preacher some time ago, and it was like, I was sort of challenged, well, show me in the Bible where it says where believers have to meet together twice on Sunday. I had difficulty with that one. I couldn't show him from the Bible in so many words where believers are to meet together once on Sunday. I know we're not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves and that sort of thing. I can tell you quite honestly that I like our evening service. It's more personal, and maybe I'm lazy. I already had somebody tell me tonight that I was lazy. I don't know where he went. Oh God, I probably scared the repercussions. Anyway, get my ambition back. So, it's just, I don't know, it's nice to be able to preach devotionally and that sort of thing. And that's what we'll do tonight. For title's sake, this is just called His Name is Wonderful. Isn't His name wonderful? So the Bible says, so we'll call His name wonderful. And let's just pray before we devotionally look at this verse tonight. Thank you, our Father, again, that we can gather here in the name of Christ. Lord, as we use His name as our badge of authority to enter into the throne room of heaven, we know, Lord, that one day, at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow. And Father, I thank you again for the good group that's gathered here on this snowy evening and so on, and just that we'd have good fellowship together. That you would speak to our hearts, that we'd consider your word, and just that our fellowship would be sweet. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always awake and you're always aware of our hearts and what goes on in our lives. You've graven us on the palms of your hands, and our walls are continually before thee. We trust you tonight. Thank you, Lord, even for the storm. And we know that you know exactly what you're doing. Lord, you know what you're doing in our lives as well. And give us the grace to trust you as we ought to. In Christ's name, amen. Well, just not too long ago, we looked at this verse, and we looked at the fact that His name is wonderful as well. But what happens with me if I don't look? And I have a record. I spent, 5 years I studied through Freelandia. And every quarter I would send a PY report that had to do with messages that I preached. I have no clue what PY means. I never looked it up. I didn't care. I just knew that I had to do it, so I did it. And I've been keeping a PY file ever since, and I look back over those things sometimes. And it's interesting how you will look at a portion of Scripture today, and God's Word is, you can only interpret His Word one way. It only says one thing and means one thing. From a practical sense, it's interesting how on a different day, from a different set of circumstances, how a portion of Scripture can be applied differently, and how the Lord can use the same words to speak to us even in a different way, in light of our circumstances. And I know tonight, if you were all honest, I should have asked for the window blinds to be closed. I can remember one time a rescue vehicle pulled in the yard here, and I had asked someone to pull the window blinds because everybody kept peeking out the window. Well, I'm going to be quick, or try to be quick. It says here, verse 6, chapter 9, book of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." And I wanted just to look at that and think about that a little bit, that the name of Christ, it says, His name shall be called Wonderful. That's His name. Now think about it. Some of you would look at someone else and call them wonderful, right? And accompanied with the wonderful, depends on how much nerve you have and how well you know the person, it's, wow, that person is wonderful. Yee-haw. Oh, I hope they're paying attention to me, and go through all the gestures and gyrations and so on, and then after a while you get, you know, close relationship with them. You won the prize. And the wonder wears off. Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. He was wonderful. He's going to be wonderful. He's always wonderful. As we think about some of these things, I sat down the other day and I took out my little pencil. You know, when you do your devotions, one of the important tools is you need a chair, right, or some place to sit. You need a Bible. And paper and pencil is a good idea if you're like me, because I have a wonderful memory, but it's very short. And it's good you can write things down. And I started to write, I was reading some things that a fellow by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, I've never heard him preach, but I've read a lot of his messages and a lot of things that he had to say. I jotted down a number of things, so these, what you're going to hear tonight is not necessarily genuine from me. And as I was reading through and I was writing these things down, I thought it isn't going to be necessary for me to say I'm quoting him, because they weren't genuine with him either. It's just thoughts that we all know, and that's why tonight we can say this is devotional. About the Lord Jesus Christ being wonderful. Well, one of the things that took my mind mostly as I read through what Spurgeon had to say about this portion of this verse was just this. I had noticed, and those of you, how many of you have read Spurgeon? I have a lot of his books. And I enjoy his, just him. He would have been a person I think I would have liked him. He was, partially because, I read the life story of D.L. Moody, and I thought before, I don't know how well I would have got along with this guy. He started some of the stuff that is acceptable south of the 49th parallel. It isn't necessarily fundraising. My understanding is he got to England. He wasn't well received by a fellow by the name of Spurgeon because of some of his antics and so on. Now, I'm not certainly against Moody or anything like that, but it was nice for me to read that. At least somebody thought like me, and his name happened to be Spurgeon, and they say he's a prince of preachers. Oh, that sounded good to me. I have a number of lectures that Spurgeon had given in his preacher school. I was thankful as well, because somebody of my stature would have done well in his school. In fact, he was of the persuasion, if you were skinny, you shouldn't preach. That was before the invention of some of these things. I don't know how he'd feel about it today, but an interesting character. On a day like this, according to Spurgeon, if you were to go outside, you shouldn't wear a scarf. You shouldn't button your top button. And he had it figured because he liked the sea and so on. Did you ever notice sailors don't wear a scarf and they don't wear a top button, and this weather doesn't seem to bother them, therefore? You want to get a cold? Dress warmly. He had a lot of great ideas. Anyway, I discovered, and you would discover if you read anything by him, that Spurgeon loved the sea. He'd read this portion of Scripture, and late one evening, a thunderstorm came about, and he took a walk down to the side of the sea in the middle of a thunderstorm. And as he stood on the edge of the bank, he was thinking in the blackness of the night, the lightning would light up the shore. And there seemed to be a competition between the pounding of the waves on the side of the sea and the call from heaven of the thunder, and the louder the thunder got, the louder the waves got. And it seemed like there was a competition, and he was suggesting that, you know, when it came down to the crunch, that which came from the beat on the shores of the land and on the land was drowned out by the sound of that which came from heaven. And one of the things that he noticed, and those of you who have been on the water before, and I've seen this a few times, both in the daytime and I haven't seen the moon a whole lot in the daytime, but I've seen before, and he had mentioned that when the storm had gotten to its most violent point, that he looked out across the sea, and in the distance, beyond the storm, he could see peeking out from behind a cloud the moon. And it was like no matter how violent or how heavy or how wicked the storm was, that there was a light, and it was peeking out from behind the clouds. And if you could see just beyond the storm, as you came and you look across the sea, that you could see the brightness and the glory of the Lord shone there. And the truth of the matter is, as believers tonight, what we have in Scripture is we can see beyond the storm. Whatever it is that's going on in your heart and in your life and in your home and in your family and in your work or whatever it is that's troubling you tonight, if we can see Christ and recognize the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the person who he is and the authority that he has, you can see the glory of the Lord beyond the storm. And he went on to speak about another storm that had taken place when Christ was nailed to the cruel cross, and that the earth turned dark, and the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died, and he was suspended on a cross between heaven and earth. And while he was there, the truth of the matter is, those who understood the scriptures would be able to look beyond the storm of the cruel cross of Calvary. Christ would be able to look beyond. And in 3 short days, he would rise from the grave. And that he would be victorious over death and over hell and over the wicked one. Those who could look beyond the storm when it raged and the earth turned dark. And the prophets would recognize and know that one day the very Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on that cross, would come back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Spurgeon had wrote those things, and they jotted down a number of other things, and they got thinking about this idea of storms in our life. And the idea that sometimes, you know, we fail to think about the wonderful person Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you tonight, isn't it wonderful to be a believer? We would all say yes. But the truth of the matter is, there's so many days and there's so many times that our lives are anything but joyful and happy and wonderful. Part of it's because we forget the one who truly and genuinely is wonderful, who's watching over us and loves us and cares for us and knows us. Number one, I just wrote down in relation to this verse, it says that a child was born. We know the Lord Jesus Christ was God, manifest in the flesh. The very God of heaven came to earth in the person of Christ as a man, and he was born. He was born of a woman, and we read in the scriptures, especially this time of year, that he was placed in a manger. But there's something else about this passage, and I'm going to just read it. For unto us it says a child is born, and then it says unto us a son is given. We forget about the son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The child was born, and the Son of God was given to mankind so that we could be set free from the power and the penalty of sin. One day from the presence of sin. When you stop and think in light of that, of who Christ is, isn't he wonderful? Think about tonight. He's the Creator. He's God. He was born. One who always existed, who always was, who knows everything. Everything is upheld by the power of his might. And the earth is kept and sustained by him. He had to be born to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. That's a wonderful thing. Took a look at the word wonderful, and I discovered that there are some other words that would be synonymous with wonderful. Do you know the word wonderful sometimes was translated marvelous? We could look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, isn't it marvelous, the person of Christ, what he's like, who he is? To think that the marvelous Lord Jesus, the wonderful Lord Jesus, one day for eternity past, always was. It's a marvelous thing to think of. Not only marvelous, I discovered that the word also sometimes can mean miraculous. I want to tell you, it's a miraculous thing when a young lady who has never known a man has a child. His birth was miraculous. It sometimes means distinctive. He was distinctly marked in his birth and in his life and in his death. The Lord Jesus Christ was distinct among men. There was no other man like him. Do you know there never on the face of this earth existed, except in the person of Christ, a man who was sinless? Well, his name shall be called Wonderful. Why? How many times have you ever looked at or known or associated, been friends with or knew a person who was so wonderful that they had never sinned to your knowledge? Wouldn't it be great if you could look across this pulpit tonight and say, oh, we have a pastor who has never sinned. I don't want to remind you. You'd be all leave here mad tonight and say, we should fire him next week. This guy's failed in this way, this way, this way, this way. I could say the same. I don't want to pastor that church. They're all sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. He was sinless. Why is this man called wonderful? There's none like him. There never has been one like him. There will never be one like him. His name is wonderful, marvelous, miraculous, distinctive. His name is wonderful in terms of the past. When you look at the past, you could say that the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've mentioned already, he was the creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Imagine this, to create man and to have man reject you, and have man go against you, and to sin against you and to offend you. Did you ever stop and think that sin offends God? How many times have you ever had someone say, oh, so-and-so is so offensive, so-and-so offended me? How many times have you ever gone to someone and said, the actions that I've done or the things that I've done, I'm sorry, and I hate this one. I'm sorry if I've offended you. Well, what if you did that offensive thing and it didn't offend me? Are you still sorry? You're just, the only reason you're sorry is you don't want me, and then this works for all of us, to feel offense by your sin. We fail to think of the fact that your sin and my sin offend God. And when you look at God and who he is, I don't want to be an offense to God, do you? When you look at tonight and you think of who Christ is, and in Christ that we're blessed, and in Christ we're saved, in Christ we're kept. In Christ we're justified, and God sees us as sinless to the extent that we're going to his heaven. All the offenses that we would have, everything offensive about us would be blotted out in the depths of the sea behind God's back, forgotten, gone. That's something wonderful. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that? Erase those offenses so the person that offended us, we could look at them and just totally, completely forgive like God does. Well, when Christ looks at you and sees you as being clean and offenseless, that's something wonderful. And Spurgeon had said something else that I found was a little bit interesting. He had spoken about the idea of when, have you ever talked to an elderly fellow, an old man or an older lady, and think about what they've experienced. They can tell you things that had been wonderful down through the ages, down through the years. 50 years ago, it was like this. 75 years ago, it was like this. It used to be wonderful when this happened, when that happened, when we did this and we did that. And he went on to say, wouldn't it be interesting that if the tree that shaded this old fellow could talk, maybe the tree had been there for a couple of centuries, and this happened, and that happened, and so on. That would be a wonderful thing to listen to and to understand. Did you ever stop and think, did you ever wonder about your house or this building, if this building could speak? I thought about some of the old places that I've been. I was at Dad's the other day, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting if this house could talk? And if this house could remember some of the things that I've forgotten and could say things. What about creation? What about rocks? What if a rock could talk? They've been here for a long time. I can remember I was talking to a guy one time, and he picked up a rock, and he showed me, he says, this is a very old rock. Wow, that's profound. And I picked up a rock, and I says, this is a rock that's the same age as that old rock. They were both made on the same day. And I get a look like, boy, what's the matter with you? You stupid? No. I just understand what the Bible says about creation. Was driving in the woods one day, and way back about 30 miles from town in Beta Spare, Newfoundland, there was a huge Kenworth constructor truck. It was a big compactor, and it was shaking the tar out of the earth. And I stopped and asked the guys, what are you doing? What are you guys doing way back here in the woods, shaking the ground like this? He says, well, we're going to figure out how long the earth's been here. And I said, you're looking the wrong place. And I told him, you just take your Bible and it will tell you it's been here for about 6,000 years. And the guy just laughed and I went on my way. He thought I was foolish. Didn't understand the significance of the wonderful name of Christ. Think about it tonight, if the earth could speak and so on. And think of this, the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful when you think of where he came from. That he's existed forever. Oh, having said that, We'll move on just a little bit. What about the incarnation of Christ? The Almighty. When you look at God as being almighty and being sovereign and who he was, came to earth, he had to be born of a woman. And isn't it interesting when you think about Almighty God becoming man and being nursed by a woman? Did I say that right? Or is that how you say it? No, she was nursed by him. How does that work? Whatever. He was a nursing child, supported and held in the arms of a loving mother, but he was also Almighty God that created him. When we look at the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we fail to see sometimes the great lengths that he went to buy our salvation. It's quite wonderful when you think about that. Jesus Christ in the arms of Mary, getting sustenance from the woman that he created, who in Luke this morning, as we were looking at the scriptures, would sing, "My God and my Savior." Think about this tonight. The God who created, Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified at the hand of the men who he created. There's something wonderful about this person of Christ. Think about it. You're not thinking about it. God created us. The Lord Jesus Christ became a man so that he could pay the penalty for our sin, and man killed him. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that we have a great God and that we're wicked. We inherited a sin nature. We're wicked by nature. And that's a wicked thing when somebody who would bow down to that extent to help you and to save you and to keep you from damnation, what would you do? We kill them. We have a wonderful Savior. God manifest in the flesh was crucified by man. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ laid aside the glories of heaven. There was a day on earth when they put a crown of thorns on his head. I want you to think about this. We talk about him as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that that hasn't taken place yet. You walk through this community, you walk through any community on the planet Earth tonight that I know of at least, and you will hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a byword and as a curse word. Something goes wrong to swear, people will cry out the name of Christ. And this very king that one day will rule from the throne of David had put on him a crown of thorns and a gown, and he was mocked. They made fun of him as if he were false king. And man did this to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. Spurgeon said this, and I jotted this down again, it's just this, that, you know, never has a spring poured forth such abundant life as the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing on a hot, hot day to take a nice cool drink from a spring that bubbles up from the earth. And I can think even now there's a couple of places that I like to go to when I'm home just to get a drink from the spring. Partially from memories that I have as a boy getting a drink from these springs. But cool, refreshing water comes from the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ told the woman, if you drink this water that I give you, you will never thirst. Christ has provided that which would cleanse the entire world from sin. Just if we will drink from this spring. There never was a spring like him. His name shall be called Wonderful. How about this? The Lord Jesus Christ had the strength or had the power to endure God's wrath. Did you ever stop and think what went on the cross of Calvary? We think in terms sometimes and something will happen and we will say that that person is wicked. That person is this, is this, is this. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the shame of every sin that ever was committed or ever will be committed. That thing, there could be some here tonight, and most people would have some things, there have been things that I would never want you to know that I've done. I'd be embarrassed, I'd be ashamed, and everybody is like that. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ bore the shame of that sin in his body? For every person that ever walked here, someone asked me, not too long ago, and struggled with this. How can somebody who has committed this sin and this sin and this sin be saved? And speaking of themselves, I've never done anything really horrible. It's really nice, my answer.
You are horrible.
The truth of the matter is, as far as God is concerned, we're not. We have no righteousness of our own. And the Lord Jesus Christ had the power and the strength and the ability to endure the Father's wrath. How about this? Samson. I think Samson probably, would be fair for us to say, would have been the strongest man, at least recorded, that lived. Close runner-up, if not as strong. I find it interesting, at least, that David killed a bear. And David took a lion. Young boy took a lion by the beard, and he killed him. And we know that they got their strength by the power of God. We know that Samson had taken the Nazarite vow and so on, and because of his hair. Well, it wasn't just his hair. God gave him the strength to do the things that he did. Now, let me ask you. I can tell you for sure, how do I know that Samson isn't going to come in here tonight and demonstrate some feat of his strength? The quick and simple answer is just this, because he's dead. Dead people don't do anything. We don't have to fear somebody who's dead, right? Ever gone to a funeral and have somebody, you walk by a casket and the corpse reach out and grab you? I'm going to tell you, the day that happens, fire that undertaker, because he ain't dead. Dead people don't do anything. His name is wonderful because even the power of death could not keep the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died. He was really dead. He was completely dead. He was totally dead. He was gone and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose. Isn't there something wonderful about that? Why do we call his name wonderful? Christ could not be bound by death. And I had mentioned already is just this. Wonders in our own life are short-lived. You think back, and those of you from the youngest to the oldest, there would be things that have happened in your little lifespan that for a little while you never stopped talking about. Wow, did you see that? And you go on to tell somebody this, this, and this, and you're excited because something wonderful happened. I bet there's some of you here tonight can't remember the last time something wonderful happened. I want to tell you something wonderful happened on the planet Earth when God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and he willingly came and paid the penalty for sin, and that will be talked about and be wonderful for all of eternity. There's nothing that can match the name of Christ. Nothing can match the person of Christ. And when we look here in Isaiah and we read these words, that his name shall be called wonderful, it shouldn't surprise us. As we close this evening, I have a question. I wrote this down too, and it's just this. Is he wonderful to you? And I had to sit at my desk the other day and ask the Lord to forgive me. Because here I am reading these things, and I believe every one of them, of how wonderful God is. And I was looking at difficulties, the things that were troubling me, and I thought, oh, I don't know, I don't want to have another day like this. Our lives, and how our lives go and how things go, depend on how wonderful we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful? I could have written pages. I wrote down 10 things. And for time's sake, I didn't want to write down any more. And it's kind of interesting, if I were to open Spurgeon's book, I had only gone through what we looked at here, there was only a very short portion of what he said. But as I stopped and looked at what God's Word said, and who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we could spend hours speaking of how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. Having difficulty in your life, it might do you well to stop and think, is Christ wonderful to you? Truth of the matter is, he is wonderful. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for these few minutes that we can have. And Lord, we thank you for who you are tonight. Thank you, dear God, for the gift forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the anticipation that we have even tonight, that we know you're coming back for your church. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us would be honest in our heart of hearts. And we would ask ourselves the question, are we thankful tonight for the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask, Lord, that you would minister to us, that you'd enlighten us, that you'd encourage us, that you'd help us. in Christ's name.